Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace and Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website, www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Can I do that? I'm going to intro these great people. You're very blessed. Everyone say we're blessed. Blessed. Very blessed. They're going to put the little timers on all of us. They don't need one timer, but I do. But we want to get to the point. So we're going to give everybody 10 minutes max. We've got three people, Owen, Carrie and then myself, and we're going to talk about how to get on with people. So I hope you got your Bibles. Hope you got an ability to take notes this morning. We want to be very practical, and we want to make the most of this time that we have together. Worship's been wonderful. I could go home and I've had a good time already, haven't you? But I want us to really honour those that God puts in our midst and has sent us, and like I said, we're really blessed. We have a tremendous bunch of guys that are able to minister God's word. And first of those today, on the superpower of encouragement, is Owen Aghetto. Give him a big hand. Would you do that?
Good morning, church, again. Right, I've got 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So I'm going to fly through this, and I'm going to read notes. So listen quickly. Have you ever prayed, Lord, help me see others through your eyes? Who's ever prayed that? Yes. Right, okay, so I've got a little exercise at the end, which is going to make those more than just words, okay? So, how to get along with people. Encouragement, your God-given superpower. Well, you know, like some superheroes that we see on TV, encouragement has the ability to change people's lives, yeah? The definition of encouragement is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Synonyms, I can never say that right, is heartening, cheering, cheering up, buoying up, pepping, uplifting, inspiring, rallying, motivating, inciting, stimulating, animation, invigorating, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, here's the thing. This is about making strong, making people grow. Yeah? Now, this is just an aspect of really love, yeah. Right? And we know that love is God. God is love. It's anonymous. When you're encouraging people, you're giving a bit of God into someone else. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah. So here's the thing. Thank you. The great thing about this particular superpower is, unlike Spider-Man and having to be bitten by a spider, the Hulk and having to go through some sort of gamma oven, this particular superpower is free to all of us. We just need to decide to use it. And I have to tell you, most times we don't. How to get along with people? Well, despite the fact that there's races here and races there and all kinds of categories, there's only actually two types of people on the planet. You and everybody else. And if you, it's true, and if you learn to get on with both those groups, you're going to be successful in life. Yes? It's really simple. So, let's deal with you. Be encouraged. The whole of Scripture is about bringing you and your thinking to that point where you acquire eternal life with Him. We're eternal, you know that, but we want it to be with Him. And we want to be so full of Him that we spill out to others in this world. That's our purpose. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want quietness. I want, I want, yes, I want, let's get this going, yes? Okay, the pastor's got it. Okay, so, the thing is it takes energy. It takes energy. Have you ever woken up one morning and, oh my goodness, just to get out of bed is an effort?
Tell me about it.
Yeah? But you're called to encourage yourself and to encourage others. Yeah. So, where does this superpower come from? Where is its source? from God, obviously. Yes? So here's the thing. You need to read the Bible, you need to pray, and you need to go to church. No, you don't. No, you don't need to do those. What you actually need to do is to read the Bible in such a way that you are meditating on it. You're bringing it alive inside yourself, inside your imagination. You need to live the words. The words need to breathe in you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in Hebrews, where it talks about the cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Now, you could read those as words, or as you read them, you could see them. You could see Abraham. You could see Noah. You could see Jesus. You could see Solomon. I told you, I got high five in them. Yeah. Well, if you wake up like that in the morning, if you wake up reading like that, how are you not going to feel better about yourself? Yeah? That's how you read the Bible. When you pray, you don't just say empty words, right? You commune with the Lord. He wants a relationship. That's how you get on. That's where you get your encouragement from. Does that make sense? And when you come to the Bible, when you come to church, well, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together, church, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's Hebrews 10, 24, 25. You don't come to church by rote. You come to church expecting. You come to church hungry. You come to church wanting to give. You come to church wanting to receive. Let me ask you, when we were singing, did it not sound like there was more than just the people here?
Yeah.
We brought something.
Yeah.
Heaven was open. Now, you come to church like that weekly, right? You're going to pull it out of the pastor. Heaven's going to be up. You're going to feel encouraged.
Yeah.
That's where your source is from. Okay? So, I don't know how I'm doing for time. Everybody else. Dealt with you, everybody else. Now, you are a steward of this superpower. God encourages us so that we can be a comfort to others. I think that's 2 Corinthians 5:1 that 1:5 that talks about the abundance that is given to us. That abundance is supposed to pour out of us. A bit like, for you Marvel lovers, Thor. Thor there, standing with his hands full of lightning. You know, he steps into a room and he touches everybody. Encourage people. Encouragement. That's what we're supposed to do. In fact, the Great Commission, go out and make disciples, can quite easily be translated into go out and encourage the world. Go out and show the people the light that is in you. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. In fact, a great definition of encouragement is that it is the daily opportunity to highlight to others the hope we have in Christ. That is what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you a bit, I did have a couple of examples, but I can only really give you one for the time. And this is rather personal. When I was much younger, I went through a protracted period of life where things weren't going very well for me at home or at school. In fact, no one really had much good to say about me, etc. And one day I was in a classroom and a particular teacher, asked me to do something. And so I joked about how, you know, how could you trust me? How do you not know that I would, put my hand in the whatever or manipulate or whatever. And it was something that came out of a low self-esteem. And he said, Owen, he said, I trust you. In fact, I would trust you with my life. I would actually trust you with my family's life. I'm going to tell you, it stopped me in my tracks. I didn't know what to say. Now, here's the point. The Marvel Super Comics and all that kind of stuff, it's about how people have powers to change people's futures, to change people's directions. That one comment there, there's my own, changed my life. Changed my entire life. So I've got two things for you for encouraging others. One, for heaven's sake, smile. Smile twice as much in your life as you do now. Smile to yourself in the mirror. Smile to your family. Smile to strangers. Smile. It's free, but you know what? You can actually physically see changes in those around you when you do exactly that.
That is true.
Okay, so can we start, please? There you go. The second thing is a bit weird. I came across it yesterday by accident. I don't believe in accidents. But here's the thing. How about this? It's going to sound a bit weird, but practice. From now on, anytime that you are in a crowd, anytime that you are with anybody else, I want you to think in your head, I love her. I love him. He's great. Blessed be he. That child, it's great future in him. Can you imagine if you just did that continuously until it became a subconscious thought in your head? That is you seeing people through the Lord's eyes. I'm done.
Brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Owen, for that. But I'm going to share on something now. Woo! Where's my enthusiasm, please? Winning people and building trust, because we're talking about building relationships here. How to build really, really strong relationships. So my key verse is 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Well, it was. It's disappeared. So I'll read it out to you. This is from the Passion Bible. If I can find it. This is Paul talking now to the Corinthians. He says, "Now, even though I am free from obligations to others, I joyfully make myself a servant to all in order to win as many converts as possible." Yeah? "I became Jewish to the Jewish people in order to win them to the Messiah. I became like one under the law to gain the people who were stuck under the law, even though I myself am not under the law. And to those who are without the Jewish laws, I became like them, as one without the Jewish laws, in order to win them, although I'm not outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. I became weak to the weak, to win the weak. And I've adapted to the culture of every place I've gone, so that I could more easily win people to Christ. I've done all this so that I would speak God's partner for the sake of, I'll become God's partner for the sake of the gospel." Such an amazing passage that. But I want to talk to you not just about winning people for Christ, because you've got to have friends first. Sorry? 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. And we're talking about, to repeat myself, building strong relationships, winning people, building good relationships. So what Paul's saying is not that he has to actually become like them, but he's got to win them by kind of identifying. He's got to build rapport with them. Yeah. He's got to build bridges, yeah? You've got to find the commonality. You've got to think not differences, but the common things. And I'd like to just mention the next passage, which is John 4, verses 4 to 42, which is the story of the woman in the well, because I think that identifies this beautifully. And you can turn there if you wish to. I'm not going to talk about the whole story because it's not the story that's the point of this. It's the story about how they build rapport, how Jesus wins her over. Yeah. So in the beginning, which is John 4:4-42. So Jesus goes through Samaria and he meets a Samaritan woman standing by the well because he's thirsty. And he asks her for water. He says, "Give me a drink of water." And surprised, she says, why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? So that's amazing in itself, because women weren't allowed to talk to men and men weren't allowed to talk to women, let alone Samaritan people. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get on, okay? So already she's kind of thinking like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Because this shouldn't be happening. And she's seeing the differences. Yeah? Do you understand that? But she talks, she carries on. Jesus replied, if you only knew who I am and the gift. So he's sowing those seeds that Owen was talking about, the gift, because he wants to bless this woman. The gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. So he's blessing her. He's showing her love and he's showing the importance of who she is. And then she kind of thinks about that and she says, do you really think that you are greater than our ancestors? For Jacob had dug this well and drank from it himself along with his children and livestock. So now she's looking for similarities. So she's not looking for the differences. Well, I'm man, you're my woman, you're man. I'm a Samaritan, you're Jewish. She's now saying, our fathers, our heritage. So she's drawing on similarities, making so they're all one family. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's just so important that we find those that common ground when we're building relationships. And Jesus goes on, you know the story, but they carry on and she goes, our fathers worship God. And then Jesus says, dear woman, because he's putting love on her. He's talking to her, he respects her, even though she's Samaritan and she's a woman, he's calling her dear. And he uses terminology to bless her, to love her, and to build relationship and build rapport. So then he can talk to her about things of heaven. And that's what we should be doing. It's very easy to find differences in people. Then you build rapport. When people trust you, which is the second point, then you're in a position that you can talk to people and people will receive your word more. And if they trust you, then you can, when you talk about Jesus, they're more likely to receive it from you because they trust you, they understand you, they respect you. Oops. So we built a relationship with these people and we went out for a walk. And it was very hot yesterday. Not quite hot enough to swim, but it was pretty warm. And we sat down and Paul and I had a drink outside in this place on the street. And there's some tables and chairs. And about 10 minutes later, this couple, well, they weren't really a couple, the people from the reception walked along. And they go, hi, hi, hi. We go, oh, hello, hello, hello. And they said, well, can we come and join you? So they got their drink and we all sat around the table and had a great conversation for about half an hour. But it was all because we'd sown those seeds. We were asking them about Italy. We were asking them about France. We were talking about football, politics, you know, the whole kind of thing. But the idea was that we actually reached into their life. We reached into their world. So I've got three key points. I don't know how I'm doing for time. I'd just like to say, when you speak to people, make them feel important. It's a saying that says people don't remember what you said. They remember how you made them feel. I don't know who said that, but it's a good one. So it's just so important. So when you talk to people, look at them. Don't fiddle on your watch or, you know, look at your or your phone or whatever. Actually make them feel special. Make them feel valued, yeah? Make them feel important. Yeah. Ask their name. It's quite simple. What's your name? You'll practice, you can say that to the person next to you. What's your name? I'm so-and-so. It's quite easy. Talk about their life. People like talking about themselves. It makes them feel important, okay? Give them your attention. Wherever you are, be there. I've got that pinned up in my school above my desk there. So if you're talking to somebody, make sure you're there as well. Make them feel valued. So listen to what they have to say. Even if you don't agree, don't worry about what you don't agree with. Think about the things that you do agree with, and you'll build relationship that way. Don't judge them. That's not a good way to make people feel valued. And then you can build trust from there. And a third thing from all this is to do it from a heart of love. Do it from a perspective of love. And really love on them. Just let them leave that feeling that they're loved, they're important, they're valued, and they're loved. So if you just look at people, as I mentioned, from the way God sees people, and you do it from a heart of love, that is a really great way to build good relationships. And that's where I'd like to leave it. And Pastor Paul's coming up next.
There it is. She beat the buzzer. So impressive. I'm sure I'm pressing cancel here. Amazing how everyone knows how to turn it off better than I do. Wonderful. All right, I've finished already. Cool. Oh, yeah, now I've got to have one as well. Wonderful. That's good. Keep that going. Hey, you having fun so far? So just different thoughts, and there are so many. It's an important area, and I know Carrie really has in her heart the importance of how we connect with people and what's happening in our community. That's one of the reasons we were so excited to hear just that testimony from David earlier as well about what they did just at Bunnings and just that whole community-mindedness. We should be exemplary at that. But it's not just a matter of organising things or saying, for example, we have a market on Saturday once a month in Staines and we're doing Staines upon Thames Day. All those things are, to do them is great. But to know how to connect with people is really the most important thing of all. And so that's what we're talking about. And Owen talked about the superpower of encouragement, Carrie about winning people and building trust, and I'm going to talk about ruling your spirit. And if you've got a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 16. We think maybe the globe has gone on that little projector, so I did run around to try and fix it, but never mind. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. I reckon one of the most powerful proverbs in the entire Bible. Proverbs 16, verse 32. You want to see it for yourself? The NIV says it this way, the New International Version UK, in this new version I've got, it says, better a patient person than a warrior. You can be a warrior, but it's better to be patient. Better one with self-control than someone who takes a city. And the idea of taking a city, you know, in the Old Testament, conquering a city, David who took Mount Jebus and it became Jerusalem and that whole idea of a very strong warrior, but it's better to take a city. Sorry, it's better to control yourself, control your spirit, have self-control than take a city. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says to be slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So the ability to rule your spirit. One version says to rule your passion. It's emotional self-control. And we have a whole world that's opened up, maybe in the last 20 or so years, which is very popular now all around the world. Are we all right there? So there's a lot of movement going on. I'm just making sure. Is everybody okay? Yep, okay. So there's a lot of interest right now in what they're calling emotional intelligence, EQ, and there's books on that and all that study. And it's tremendously important. Lots of studies that will substantiate that EQ, high EQ or high emotional intelligence is far more important in your success in life and far more strongly connected to success in life than IQ, your education, your training, all those kinds of things. And this is a Bible passage, one verse, that really much of the EQ thinking is rooted in. That's really what it's talking about. The ability to control your emotion. I want you to notice there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, you don't need to turn there, but when Carrie was talking about, did you read that passage, honey, about you become to a Jew like the Jews and you remember that passage? So in the beginning of that, Paul writes this, I have made myself. Everyone say, I've made myself. So I've made myself to become like a Jew to the Jews. I've made myself to become like someone under the law. I made myself to be like a weak person even though I'm not weak. In other words, there's an aspect of this that we work on ourselves to make ourselves a certain way. And it's very important to understand that because sometimes we don't realize that. I'm going to touch on that in a moment. But I want to ask you a few questions and ask you how you would tend to emotionally react to a few typical scenarios. Put yourself in this position and think now, what's my most common, or how am I liable to start to react in my emotions, in my heart? Scenario one is when you're driving along on the M25 and you're being very, very polite and very, very normal, and some person decides they're going to cut in front of you. Alternatively, and this one gets to me more, you're driving in the right lane, it's 70 and everyone gets away with 80, but you know, we'll live with 75, and there's somebody sitting in the right lane at 60 and they won't move, and there's nobody in the middle lane, so you're tempted to pass them on the middle lane, which you really technically shouldn't do. And so you've got that scenario. Or you're driving from here to Windsor, let's say, and it's a 50 mile an hour zone, and they're doing 35 in a 50, and you want to get there, and they just keep going, and you think, now there's a little section here that's coming where I can pass. And then as you get to this little section where you can pass, there's a car coming the other way. How do you emotionally respond to a situation like that? It's just one example. Different things affect people differently. But that's one. Here's another one. How do you emotionally respond if you need to get some money out of an automatic teller, an ATM, and it's about 8 o'clock at night, you're up here in Staines, and you mosey on up with your, you've got your wallet with your card in it, and then just after you stand there, just 3 or 4 metres there, a male person is standing behind you. And it looks like they're there to get money out, but of course you're not really sure. What happens emotionally? Do you get fearful? What happens in your emotions? Here's another, you don't need to call out, I'm just asking you to think. And here's another situation. If you're in a situation where you're talking to other people, maybe in the office or whatever, and the tenor of the conversation starts to become critical of certain people, that you might, could be a race situation, it could be old people, it could be people that have been through divorces and are very slanderous of their exes. It could be people, like we were in a train yesterday and we were with a bunch of lads, and so their attitude towards their wives when they're discussing things on the train. How do you respond, especially if they talk about something that's close to you, that affects you, that's something? How do your emotions respond in a situation like that? And there are lots of examples like that. You know, one of the other things that's quite a common issue, and it becomes a very sensitive issue, is if you are questioned by authorities. So, for example, we've got an issue where in our nation, let's kind of defuse it a little bit, and let's assume that 80% of car speeding crime are committed by Australians. Let's just assume that. And there are certain stats in certain areas, for example, like a credit card fraud or holding up people at card machines. There are certain cultures where that percentage is very high. But whatever it may be, imagine 80% of Australians, and I'm an Australian, so now I'm liable to get a little more targeted than average, maybe unfairly targeted by police or people in authority, and questioned about this because of the reputation that's been earned by other Australians. And if you're that person, that Australian or whatever, and you're getting targeted by that, how do you respond to that emotionally? All through our lives, every day of our life, there are things that can tend to flick our switches. And we're talking about how to get on with other people. And there you go. Is that really it? And so that's how you get on with other people. So I said it shorter for me, of course. But the point of all that is you can choose to control your emotions. And the ability to get on with other people well is probably the most important and probably the most misunderstood art, if you like, in the whole world. It doesn't happen automatically. And the biggest trigger, or one of the biggest triggers, you've heard three things this morning, is the fact that if something affects us emotionally and we don't rule that, then all of a sudden these responses, it could be anger, it could be defiance, It could be shutting down because I'm hurt. It could be disinterested, I'm cutting off. But all those kinds of responses, which are very common, which as we talk about them, there'll be some affected more by some things than others, but we'll all have them. And they all dramatically impact relationship. If you think about relationships in your life right now that aren't that great, nearly all of them will have some kind of emotional something that a switch has flicked. Forgiveness in itself is a huge issue. We don't have time to talk about it today, but here's what you need to know, that according to the Bible, if you rule your passion, if you rule your spirit, you're greater than the mighty. Because it opens the door. You can be a person. You've got to learn. You've got to train yourself. And there's this balance between. It's like walking in love towards people. Owen talked about loving people. You have got the love of God deposited in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You've absolutely got God's love in you. But that is no guarantee you're walking in God's love. You've got to learn to walk in what God's already given you. And that doesn't happen automatically. You've got to go through some of those scenarios like I do. There are certain things that might flick my switches and I might find myself saying, this is really getting to me. And I'm thinking it and sooner or later it'll come out of my mouth. And when I hear it come out of my mouth, now generally I'll stop myself. I'll say, no, this is not getting to me. This isn't working out quite how I want it, but this isn't getting to me because there's a big difference. And if I let something get to me, then my ability to relate well to other people is dramatically impacted. We're going to close. Let's close our eyes. Dear Father God, thank you for the beautiful people that we have in our church, the beautiful people that have shared this morning, including myself, and the beautiful people that you are helping us. The art of getting on with others so we have whole families, whole lives, so we know how to deal with things that are real tricky. And Lord, so we can be able to reach into this community and bring Jesus to their lives in a meaningful way. We ask you to help us with this. We thank you for a great day. We bless you and give you all the praise and the glory. And everybody said, give God a great shout. Thank you very much. Great coffee, great tea, great people. God bless you. Great to see you. See you next week.